to Hurwitz's House of Horror.
Hello
and
welcome
to another episode of
Hurwitz's House of Horror. I'm your host,
Steve Hurwitz.
And this is the podcast where we talk about horror movies as lovers and fans of the horror genre.
And lukewarm people who like some horror movies.
With me, as always, is my fantastic co-host, Jefferson Miller. Hello, Jeff. Welcome on back.
Hey.
You're here.
I'm here.
It is currently November 1st, and we have gotten out of the spookiest month of the year. It is now the most boring month of the year.
Yep.
November. Not much to look forward to, except for Thanksgiving, if you like that. There's football and turkeys. Nothing spooky about a turkey.
There's growing awareness for colon cancer.
Yes.
Through Movember. Which is, you know, not much to do there since we both have beards already. So, hey guys, make sure to get your colon checked.
That's always very important because there is nothing more scary than colon cancer.
True. Mm-hmm. Spooky.
I guess any kind of cancer.
November is the month of brown. Brown leaves, brown turkey.
Brown stuffing.
Brown colons. Mm-hmm. Get your colon checked. Anyway. Happy Halloween, the day after Halloween. I don't know how to move forward. Okay, hold on.
Do you want to redo that?
We can if you want. The most chaotic intro we've had. Well, with the falling of the leaves comes the falling of the leaves. Anyway, this week in Hurwitz's Horror Hour.
I think I just died.
Just the rest of the podcast, just me talking. Silently.
This week, I've actually been trying to get in a lot of horror things because it's been the end of October, the end of the spookiest month of the year.
Trying to squeeze it all in.
Yeah. My time is either filled with editing or working and not much else. So I shoved everything into pretty much like a day and a half.
Nice.
So I started watching Cabinet of Curiosities, Guillermo's del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities.
What was that?
Cabinet of Curiosities.
Who made Cabinet of Curiosities?
I was the director of Hellboy, Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
what was his name?
Hellboy.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Well, I started those episodes. I got three in and I really like them so far. Mm. They're pretty short. And by that, I mean, they're about an hour, maybe a little under.
Each?
Yeah.
How long did you think they were going to be?
Maybe like an hour and a half. I don't know. Okay. I thought maybe like they'd be like length. Movie length. Yeah. But they go by pretty quickly once you get into it.
Are they as spooky as you thought they'd be?
Yeah. They're pretty creepy. The first one had to do with like this guy who gets a warehouse storage unit because like somebody died and they auctioned off, you know, hey, you can get the stuff in the storage unit.
And like Storage Wars kind of?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know what that is.
It's a reality show where they bid on storage units.
Actually, it's exactly like that.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
And it ends up involving some like Nazis and demons, which was pretty cool. That's the one that had Tim Blake Nelson in it. He did a really good job in that. The second one had to do with rats. And this one had the actor that I really like from Stargate Atlantis, David Hewlett.
Ah, David Hewlett.
Yeah. Everyone's favorite character from Stargate Atlantis.
Is he in other stuff?
Stargate That's okay. Atlantis seasons 1 through 5.
Hey, there you go.
It was like in the, I don't know, olden times and had to do with him digging up graves. And then they're like these rats that were like stealing bodies. And there's like this giant rat. I don't want to get too far into it, but it was pretty cool. The third one that I watched has to do with like aliens, I guess.
Nice.
Yeah, it's like pretty aliens. Cool. Yeah, it kind of reminds me of like a Twilight Zone, but with Guillermo del Toro as the like the host.
Gotcha.
It's like a spooky, scary version of Twilight Zone. Because, you know, those are more like weird and
kind of like sci-fi a little bit.
Or like Black Mirror, where it's like, here's weird things, but with technology.
Right.
This is very much more a horror-oriented version of that. Huh. Which, right up my alley.
Smart.
I think there are 8 or 9. They might all be out at this point, but I was only able to get into the first 3. But I really like them. Definitely suggest that, especially for you, Jeff. I think, like, they're not too over the top. There are a few gory moments, but it's nothing like too crazy. I think you would like it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and I like the practical effects and stuff too, obviously. So,
and each episode is by a different director.
Yeah.
So that's cool, kind of getting different like vibes and feelings and, you know, ways that they're shot. Let's see. I also watched the movie Barbarian. Have you heard of that?
I have, yeah.
Is that a movie that interested you?
A little bit. I like, they did some creative marketing around it. Like, they released that trailer that was like Justin Long's, that's that one, right?
Yeah.
The Airbnb one. He's like Justin Long's new movie or something. And it starts off and he's kind of like driving in the car and they're playing like fun music. And then it slowly like devolves into a horror movie trailer. I was like, that's cool.
I don't think I saw that trailer. I didn't know he was in this. He doesn't show up till about halfway through the movie.
Right.
And that took me by surprise. Because it starts off, the one trailer I saw, it just kind of focused on the main character. I forget the actor's name, but she shows up at the Airbnb and someone else is staying
out. I think that was
the
first trailer that came out, yeah.
Yeah, and that kind of sold me. So I was like, I guess I'll stay away from the trailers, or I just really didn't see too much about it. But I kind of thought that was going to be the whole movie, but it wasn't. And then like at a certain point, some shit happens and then it just like hard cuts. And then it's Justin Long like driving in the car. And I'm like, what? What is happening?
Oh, that's interesting. I like when... That's what I was going to say, is when a movie has creative marketing, I usually hope that it has something to do with the creators of the actual movie, because it means that their storytelling is creative and they'll do shit like that you're not expecting. And it's not just like run of the mill horror movie.
Yeah.
So I'll watch that. That sounds cool.
It's not too bad. I think it runs 1 hour and 48 minutes, 42 minutes. I don't want to spoil anything for you.
Yeah.
But I do want to say this. It starts off very spooky and creepy. I read this comparison that like the first half of the movie is like a David Lynch kind of movie. And then the second half is like a Sam Raimi type movie.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Weird.
And I think they meshed okay together. It's just, I didn't know what to expect from it.
Right.
The ending was very just like, oh, okay. All right.
Felt a little like, what?
Yeah.
Okay,
so I think I enjoyed it overall. I was talking to somebody else about it the other day too, but I want to see your take on it if you ever get around to it. I think you might enjoy it. This is another thing that isn't too like gory or anything. There are a few moments that's just like, oh damn.
Like that movie Smile, no interest. That's the kind of movie I'm like, nah.
Yeah, same thing.
Where it's like spooky lady like popping her joints and walking slowly up to a car or whatever. It's like, ugh. So
I mean, that's exactly
not like
what
that,
you don't
know?
Like though.
Yeah, exactly.
You hate that.
Exactly.
So that makes sense.
This sounds kind of similar to like how I felt watching Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane or whatever. Like, great movie. That one was the very end. And I won't, even if it's an old movie, I won't give away spoilers in this episode. But
yeah,
the ending was like, what?
I definitely suggest that one.
That's fucking weird. Oh, yeah. That movie's great.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like a weird left turn at the very end, which was like, that felt shoehorned in there to me. But
Dan Trachtenberg directed that. I think he's doing something soon, too.
Yeah, this supposed to be a new Cloverfield something or other being worked on right now.
Mm. But isn't that one supposed to have like the Cloverfield monster back, or it's like a direct sequel
to the first one?
I think it is.
Because they did get weird with it. They did the space one where they're on a spaceship.
That's not a good one.
No, it's bad.
But I kind of like it. I kind of enjoy it.
I liked their marketing around that, where they didn't say anything about it. It was just a surprise, like...
As on Super Bowl Sunday.
It just
Sunday.
Got released at midnight or whatever on Super Bowl Sunday. And it was like, surprise, there's a movie that just came out. And everyone's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. But then the movie was not good.
We were watching the Super Bowl over at James's place. And then you, me, him, and Josh came back and watched it here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was bad.
It was fun. I had fun with it. I want to go back and rewatch that, because I remember there's a part where a dude is just filled with worms all of a sudden.
Yeah. And there's something about like his hand moving on its own, or like,
yeah, Chris O'Dowd.
Yeah, that's right.
I like him. I think that's another reason why. I think the cast was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It had the guy who plays Baron Zemo in the Marvel movies. God, I wish I could remember his name. He's a great actor, though. He was also in Inglourious Bastards. Well, anyways, Barbarian, I'm gonna give it a recommend to anyone listening out there who might be on this fence, or I think just even like the casual horror fan could get into it. It's not too over the top. It definitely has some spooky moments, and it's a little bit weird. So you got to recommend over at Hurwitz's House of Horror from one of us.
Did you hear about something I know will pique your interest? I'm sure you've already heard about it.
What's that?
But A24 announced they're going to be working on a prequel series in the Jason universe called Camp Crystal Lake Crystal Lake or something like that.
I did hear about that. It is called Crystal Lake, a prequel based on Friday the 13th, which
it's set in the Riverdale universe.
I would love that. They just meet Archie and all that.
Yeah.
But I'm intrigued by this because Brian Fuller is going to be helping to write and show run it. And he did things like American Gods, Star Trek Discovery, and Hannibal, which is a prequel to the Silence of the Lambs movies and all that. I don't know if, like, I know our friend Josh really likes Hannibal with Mads Mikkelsen. Mm-hmm. And I've heard a lot of good things about it. I heard that, like, really pushes the envelope for, like, a gory kind of horror TV show. It's one I've always wanted to get around to. I just haven't for some reason. But I hear good things, so.
And I like Discovery.
Yeah. So I'm very curious on how this is going to go and what they're going to focus on. I'm assuming it's going to be Pamela Voorhees, I guess her time at the camp. Maybe it'll kind of explore why she's a murderer, or like kind of what drove her to be a murderer on top of the fact that, you know, camp counselors let her son drown.
Yeah, like I don't get it, but you know, A24, I trust them.
Me too.
I've never been like a huge fan of this trend of doing a prequel to something that got interesting. You know, if you do a prequel to, say, Game of Thrones.
Sure. Which they are doing.
Which they're currently doing. It's like, oh, cool. You can tell the story of all these other characters that came beforehand. But if it's like,
because they have referenced them before multiple times.
Right. And they reference them and kind of like, or like even in superhero stuff where it's like, oh, you want to do a Batman prequel? Do a prequel that's like about
Gordon.
The Gray Ghost or something, or like something that happened before him and they fight crime, not like his fucking butler or
Gordon.
His family or Gordon. Yeah, exactly. Where it's like, I'm a police chief. It's like, oh, cool. There's a watch NCIS, you know, like,
but don't you want to see how Gordon got his mustache?
He gets it in the final episode and there's like a reveal out of the shadows. It's like, who cares?
I don't want to. So anyway, burst your bubble, but I'm pretty sure that's what they did in Gotham.
God damn. Is that
Ben McKenzie from the OC, shout out the OC, plays Gordon, and he never had a mustache. And I think in the very last episode, he like had it and then he shaved it off or something like that. But it's funny you say that because they have both done prequels about Gordon and also about Batman's butler.
Yep, Pennyworth. And they're doing another show about fucking Gotham City.
Oh, is it the Penguin one?
Nope, they're doing Penguin and they're doing Gotham PD still, apparently. And they're doing Arkham, which is like, stop.
Can be interesting.
That could be interesting, but it's like, just, you know, we don't need that. There's so many other characters, you know. Anyway, that's just a whole, I could talk about that for hours.
I can tell.
Crystal Lake.
Yes. So I was also thinking about maybe it will explore, I guess, Jason's background as well. Maybe like why he's a serial killer or why he's a murderer, you know.
But isn't that kind of like,
yeah, essentially,
the first movie?
Well, like we'll learn more about him.
Because he dies and then comes back out of the lake. Lake Boy.
Yeah, exactly.
We've all met Lake Boy.
And he kills people because he saw his mother get murdered that night. But yeah, maybe they'll explore that he's like a disturbed kid and he does like weird things at camp. We'll see him at camp and he like, you know, like tortures animals or something. It's like, oh, this kid's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Which, as I'm saying that, I'm like, I don't really want to see that.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I mean, I guess they could, but what's the story other than like, I don't know. I guess that's kind of A24 also. For all the love I give them, they also do make some movies that are kind of like, okay, that was
something
uncomfortable for 2 hours. You know, I gotcha.
Did you watch the movie Men?
No, but that just popped in my head. I do want to watch that.
Do you know anything about it?
I know one actor plays all the dudes in the movie.
Is that all you know?
And it looks fucking spooky.
Okay.
That's all I know. Yeah, all don't right. tell
I'm
me
not going to say anything else then. I watched that a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago.
Have you ever
ago.
Seen the scary movie Marcel Duchamp's shoes on.
And you know A24. That makes me uncomfortable. That claymation style, I don't like it.
Yeah.
That's stop spooky motion. To me. Stop motion, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, gross.
Extra spooky.
But we'll see where this goes. I mean, like, I'm stoked that we're finally getting something new Friday the 13th related.
That is fun, yeah.
Although it's not necessarily what I want.
Right, that's the annoying part. It's like, the moment you've all been waiting for. Jason is back. Well, to clarify, the camp that he eventually, like, hangs out at, that's coming. It's going to be a movie about summer camp. It's like, okay, whatever.
Maybe they'll go into the background of the camp and how it's like it has bad luck and has curses on it, and it'll follow like the camp counselors and like kind of weird and mysterious shit. That
how it was started, like how it was funded, them building the cabins
on like the graveyards or something like that. And so it's, you know, haunted, or it'll be all these weird things just surrounding Camp Crystal Lake, which again is not necessarily something that I care about, but I mean,
or hear me out.
I'm listening.
This whole podcast is just about Camp Crystal Lake now, or Crystal Lake, whatever it's called.
I mean, we did launch off with Friday the 13th, and there's that Camp Crystal Lake sign that you got me right behind you. Oh. On the other side.
Oh,
there it is.
What if they're just, so it's called Crystal Lake, but really what they're doing is revamping Friday the 13th. Because technically that movie is just about Camp Crystal Lake. It's the campers, like Mrs. Voorhees is at the end, but it's mainly about campers and them getting killed and stuff. So you could call that Crystal Lake and then do, because they have to restart the franchise. They can't just jump into, I mean, they could, I guess. Yeah, never mind. I take that back.
Although,
and then Jason shows up at the end or whatever, and then they start a movie, you know, spin off a movie off of the show.
So if I remember reading correctly, it's Victor Miller who's going to be working on this. And I did mention in previous episodes that there was this whole legal dispute between Victor Miller and Sean S. Cunningham and who owns which character's rights.
And whose rights does he own?
I think just the camp, Pamela Voorhees, and like kid Jason. I don't think he actually has, Lake Boy. I don't know if he has adult Jason.
Right. He can't use the mask.
Yeah. So maybe that's why they're doing this, because this is all that Victor Miller can do. But I, you know, don't quote me on that. But, you know, I do wish we were seeing more Jason.
Maybe
you know,
we will Jason. From the other guy.
Well, like you said, maybe they've managed to work something out and Victor Miller is able to work on this project. And then they'll collaborate a little bit. And then Sean S. Cunningham will be able to take on the adult Jason and in like a new kind of Friday the 13th series, you know? I think that'd be interesting. I know I keep saying this. I just like seeing Friday the 13th back. I have such a fondness for this series. I can't wait to see what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sticking in horror news, let's talk a little bit about Halloween. We did our spectacular double feature episode last week, which I think turned out really well and was really long, but I really liked it. I hope everyone out there listening did take a listen to that and liked it as much as I did. And I have been learning over the past week that not as many people seem to have liked it as much as we did.
Oh, totally. Apparently. Well, any of them, really. I don't think I've heard anyone talk about any of the new Halloween movies in a positive light.
I feel like the 2018 one.
The first one, yeah.
Yeah, the 2018 one got a pretty decent reception, but it was very divided with kills. You either fucking loved it because of the over-the-topness.
People loved it?
Yeah, I know that there are some people out there who did.
Wow, that movie's trash. I mean, if you like that movie, you're wrong. Sorry.
We did read out some 5-star reviews, one that said, I'm a slut. So
that's right.
That really summed it up pretty good there.
Sorry, Charlie.
And then I feel like Halloween Ends has just very much dipped into the everyone fucking does not like it. Not everyone, but majority of people.
My takeaway from that is I personally don't care about Halloween.
Yeah.
The movies. I'm like, you've heard my take on the original movie and everything. So there's nothing there to get ruined for me. Like, I don't really care what they do with it. It's just like interesting.
Mm-hmm. And like, you know, some of the history. So you're like, all right, I get
right.
that.
So it's like, okay, cool. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, this isn't the Halloween episode. So I'll just give you a quick, I'm going to talk about spoilers, whatever.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Halloween Ends, maybe go about 5 minutes forward.
Yeah.
I'll put in the time codes.
the fact that they go so hard into the, like, the kid, it's mainly about
Corey.
And the creators are like, yeah, we intentionally did that. It was never going to be a Laurie and Michael movie. Mm-hmm. It's about Corey and this new girl. Didn't bother me. I get how if someone was like, the final chapter of this character that I really like.
And it was heavily marketed as that, too.
Right.
So I can understand why people are upsetting. That's the big
problem. See, I didn't watch any of the trailers.
Mm-hmm. I watched one.
So I went in being like, oh, the last movie sucked ass.
But even just like marketing on Instagram or like little ads, you know, when I'd be online, it would just always be focusing on Laurie and Michael. And
right.
It finally ends.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see how some people would be upset.
Exactly. That seems to be a big problem is the way they market movies. They're like, well, we want to get as many people in seats as possible.
Especially the first
weekend. It still has to connect.
Yeah.
Same problem with like the suicide. I'm going to do a lot of superhero movie, examples
because that's
what I watch. Like the Suicide Squad issue that they ran into where they're like, well, we're going to market as this fun, poppy, like comedy action movie with like Queen music playing. And then you go see the movie and it's like, or they test it with audiences and it's this dark, brooding, like uber serious movie. It's like, well, why did you do that? You can't just make a trailer that doesn't.
The first trailer that came out was very much dark. It didn't have any of that poppy music.
Right. And then it had that slowed down version of.
Oh, just that was the time. Yeah. And then the test audiences didn't react well to that. And then that's when they started putting in more of the poppy music.
And then everyone's like, we love this. And then they paid the trailer company to re-edit the movie. It was like, you stupid assholes.
And it was just a mishmash of garbage.
It's like if with this movie, they're like, people don't like that. It's not about Michael and Laurie. And they just like reshot the movie and like re-edited it together to be. Anyway, moral of the story is like, just make a trailer that reflects what the movie is and people are going to like it better.
Maybe.
Or at least know what to expect. Like stand behind what you created, basically. Mm-hmm. Like if you don't think it's going to sell tickets, maybe the movie shouldn't be about Corey. Mm-hmm. You know, make a movie you think is going to sell tickets.
I mean, well, it's not necessarily the director's fault because, you know, it's the studios who take over all of that. You know, some directors, out of their hands.
Yeah.
Because the original director, we're going to go back to Suicide Squad. He was like, that's not the movie that I made.
Mm-hmm.
And it got edited. It got those trailers that went out that was not described in the movie.
So that's why a lot of directors now are like, I will be handling or at least overseeing the trailers because of that, I feel like.
Which is good.
Yeah.
But going back to the reception to this movie, I was scrolling along on the interwebs on my computron, and I came across an article on change.org.
Oh, goddamn.
Where they are advocating for Halloween Ends reshoots. And let me read the description of this petition to you. Halloween Ends was not a film that the fans wanted. This was an origin story. The Corey story. We deserve a movie worthy of Michael Myers and the Halloween franchise. We love this franchise wholeheartedly, and this version of a Halloween movie left us sad, mad, disappointed, and infuriated. Please give us a movie that shows us what Halloween is really about. Our apex predator, the king of slasher movies, Michael Myers. This movie gave us a weak, pathetic Michael who needed his mask to survive. This isn't our Michael Myers. Our killer is strong, relentless, and unstoppable. Please right this wrong. We beg of you. And this
man, change.org, what a joke. You know, I feel like at one point it was like, hey, it would be cool if people had rights.
Mm-hmm.
And like, hey, let's all band together and get some petitions signed so that kids can read like 1984 in schools or whatever. And now it's like, well, this movie isn't the way that I wanted it to be. It makes me so mad.
There was something else too that like had a change.org like refilm. It was the latest. It was the newest Star Wars. That's what it was.
Surprise, surprise.
So this Halloween Ends reshoot page has 15,000 signatures out of 25,000. So it's a lot of people right
They're
there.
They're almost to their goal. Almost. Their meaningless goal.
Yeah, I always just like, no one's going to fucking do that. No one's
Nobody
gonna
cares.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. Please. I'm probably like the villain here. If I worked at one of these studios and I saw a change.org petition, that would be an immediate like not doing whatever that is. We're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we had plans to do that, like, nope, that's done. Sorry, guys.
We're just cutting that immediately.
Yeah, it's just so there's like such a level of entitlement in like fandom now, especially in like, to be honest, superhero stuff, horror stuff, sci-fi, especially Star Wars. You know, it's like,
oh yeah,
the really honestly, the most vocal fan bases, the most like dedicated are also the most entitled and annoying. So, and I'm a part of most of those.
Yeah, me too.
It's but just also, I'm the silent.
Like if something bad comes out, yeah, that happens.
It's like, oh, why didn't that interpretation I didn't, you know, jive like, with?
You still have your original movies. You can literally go back and watch Halloween's 1 through 7, 8, and you'll be like, oh no, that is my Michael Myers.
Right.
Ignore this.
Not every movie is for you. You know? It's supposed to be art. It's supposed to be like, this is my interpretation of this character and this story. I wrote a story and here it is. And people are like, boo hoo. No, I didn't like that. Do another one of the original movies. It's like, okay.
And you know what? Some people out there did like this take. I mean, you and I both did.
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
And I guarantee you within the next 10 years, we're going to be having like another Halloween reboot or whatever.
So just to be honest, if this movie was Michael escapes again and then Laurie is scared and then Michael goes in the house and she hides in the closet, it's like, I'll just rewatch the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
What?
You're not getting anything new out of it.
Yeah, it has to be different to be new. Otherwise, it's just boring. I don't think anybody really knows what they want.
Mm-mm.
Not to say like,
well, let me tell you
can't not like this movie because it wasn't that good.
These 15,000 people know what they want.
Yeah, they do. they want movie. Their Michael Myers back.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag not my Batman. It's like, shut up.
I just wanted to bring
that
up.
You made me mad, Steve.
I'm really sorry, man. Hey, blame these 15,000. Whoa, my coffee. Blame these 15,000 people, not me.
Yeah. Hey, if you sign that petition, get ready for a swift kick to the ankle.
Ooh, you like those kids wearing those shitty masks, and those shitty Halloween costumes.
Yeah, you know what? I bet you liked. Hey, you know what? You signed that petition. I bet you liked Sam's little wrinkly pumpkin face in Trick or Treat. And you were wrong, and I'm right.
Well, since we're talking about Halloween, there was something you were mentioning earlier just about like the actual season itself.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of being heated about Halloween. This is about to be one of those podcasts where there's just like, you know, a fucking white dude raging about the internet.
This is Jeff's heated corner.
Yeah. Hey, this year, Halloween,
a
big old disappointment. I mean, you know, it was cool. It was fine. But... man, it could have been so much cooler. Like on my block, there was maybe 3 houses participating in like giving out candy to kids.
You did say that on the last episode too. Only a few houses were decorated. Everything else was just like,
yeah,
boo.
It's like, come on. I remember when I was a kid, I'd go down the street. Most of the houses were, if not decorated, like they had their street lights on. Some people were hanging out on the porch, like talking to their friends, and they'd hand out candy. There'd be like, a full-on haunted house in a garage, and it was like cool and all the neighborhood kids, and this year, yeah, it's like I look across the street and there's someone with a couple of orange lights on their bush and a blow-up ghost, and I'm like, that's cool, I'm glad you're decorating, and then nothing, and then just like dead.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of stuff I saw out when I was walking in Midtown or anything. Yeah. Like some houses were kind of heavily decorated, but that was like one out of every 20 you'd see.
And then I literally like, yeah, I heard kids trick-or-treating, and I heard one of the little kids kind of like, oh, is what about this one? And they're like, no, it doesn't look like they're home. And they're like, oh, okay.
That's, you know, heartbreaking. This
and
that.
Yeah, I was like, oh, my God. And I had some, like, I didn't do great this year either. I had some decorations, but it was,
sure,
you know, people get busy. I get it.
But you had candy to hand out?
Yeah, I did. So I went out and I tried to, like, make my entry as spooky as possible at the last second, and I like put my Google Home in the window playing spooky music and stuff, and then I got way more trick-or-treaters.
Yeah. But
the point of this is that next year I'm gonna be rallying. We got to get people decorating their houses, we got to get trick-or-treaters out there, we got to get people stop driving to rich neighborhoods, like just decorate your house, go trick-or-treating in your neighborhood, you know, make a haunted house, that'd be sick.
Yeah, some of the people in our Slack chat were saying the same thing too. We're just there was not a lot of action in, mm-hmm. in the neighborhoods or the areas with kids trick-or-treating. And let me tell you, man, like that, I had such fun as a kid dressing up and just like walking around my town with my friends. Just
you going meet your neighbors and stuff.
It was so much fun. Like that's a great time of my childhood. And I don't know, maybe it's just this year. Maybe it's just, this is the now the day and age where it's kind of like fading out, but.
Yeah. Or, you know, some people are saying like, we're slowly coming back from the COVID mindset and this and that, you know, but
true.
But I think a big part of it is people just take for granted, like things they just assume are always going to be around.
Always.
And it's like, well, no. We have to make it happen. It's not just like, yeah. And then even if I don't do anything, you know, trick or treating will still be around. It'll still happen. Mm-hmm. It's like this is what would happen if everybody did. There's this kid's book. It's like you have to be, it's like voting. I'm just going off on a whole different thing now. You decorate your house. You give out candy. And then, you know, hopefully more and more and more people do it. We got to keep this tradition alive is what I'm
saying. Definitely.
Yeah.
So next year, everyone who's listening, decorate a little bit.
Trick-or-treating 2023. It's about to be insane.
Speaking of trick-or-treating, you brought over a bucket filled with candy today.
Yeah, I ran out of candy and I ran to the store because, again, I felt bad. I literally, this was the worst part. I was like, oh my God, I ran out of candy. A dad brought his kids to the door and I was like, I just gave out my last piece of candy. Oof. And we were just staring at each other for a second. And I looked at the dad and said, I could give you a spooky LaCroix. And he just stared me blank face and just said, no thanks. And then was like, come on guys, let's go. And so I ran out and jumped in my car. I turned off my street light and I start my car and I start to drive away and I look up and in my rearview mirror, there's like a group of kids and they all just watch me drive away. So funny. But I went to go get more candy and I came home and then I got one more trick or treater. So now I have a bucket full of candy. I don't want candy.
You probably save it for next year.
Yeah. Yeah. Punish the teenagers with insanely stale candy.
You did bring over this mini hamburger.
Yeah, I did.
Which I will be eating shortly.
Little mini gummy hamburger ASMR.
Squirt, squirt, squirt. Well, that is our Halloween go out and decorate, do some trick-or-treating next year rant for everyone listening. So we have given you literally a year to prepare.
Yeah, start buying decorations, start making decorations, get some fog machines, you know?
Go all out.
Start your sketches for how you're going to do your haunted house.
Yeah, you can even message us for some ideas. Jeff has great ideas.
Yeah, hell, I'll design some shit for you.
He'll do it.
For your haunted house.
For a fee.
Yep.
And he's very good.
Oh, thank you.
And just to wrap up all news here, and we're going to go back to Halloween Ends. I found an article, or I read an article that got me really excited about how the director had an idea for one of the endings for Halloween Ends. So in a recent interview with MovieMaker.com, David Gordon Green discussed his idea for the conclusion of Halloween Ends that would have kind of connected it to the Silver Shamrock Halloween 3 movie.
God damn it. Was Michael going to be made of bugs?
No.
Okay.
But it was sort of an idea we threw around. I don't know if it was in a previous episode besides the double feature one, but we may have talked about it for a second. Green said, there was an ending I wrote that we never filmed, and it takes place at the Silver Shamrock factory as it's spitting out a witch, skeleton, and pumpkin mask. And then it starts spitting out Michael Myers masks. I had a temptation to go there, but at the end of the day, I thought that's just a fan service for people who know what Silver Shamrock is. It was in every draft of the script ever published, but we never filmed it.
Oh,
yeah.
Missed opportunity.
Oh, man. I would have loved that. I would have screamed in the theater if they had some sort of like mask connection there.
For as much as I bitch about fan service, I mean, sprinkling some in there doesn't hurt anybody. You know, that sounds like fun.
I guess it's just finding the right amount.
Right.
But just that connection of seeing all the masks and the Michael Myers masks. But that would have opened up a whole like new idea of questions like, was he actually evil or was it the mask that possessed him?
Oh shit.
It's a Silver Shamrock mask. Was he being controlled by witches, or maybe these masks were starting to get pumped out now and they would control people, or they're just masks and they'll fill you with bugs later on.
Right.
Just a whole lot of questions that could have been asked from there, but I just really wish that fan service had been done.
Yeah, me too.
Or maybe you talked about it, but on that last shot where we see the mask just sitting on the table it's slowly like the camera zooms in on the mask, and underneath some of like the white paint, there's like a very dim, like silver shamrock logo
The
mask. So it's like, huh, they did create it. Just some like little things.
Little, yeah.
But that was something that got me excited for a second. And at least we know that David Gordon Green, you know, he's put these masks in before, and the idea that he had that, I think, was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Well, I never asked you. I'm sorry, Jeff. What's your week been like with horror?
I mean, you heard it all.
That's true.
And I just don't want to get all heated again. So
you were also telling me you watched another episode of Grey's Anatomy where someone died in a plane crash.
Oh, no, that was a while ago. I mean, people die left and right on that show. It is quite horrific. Mm-hmm. You know, so scary. Someone died in a car crash.
Oof.
Yeah.
I've been in a car.
Classic.
Wow.
You've been in a car?
Yeah.
No way, dude.
Yeah.
That's scary. So
that could have been me.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
Statistics show
that all car accidents happen two blocks away from
cars.
Yeah. There's that too.
That's fucking terrifying.
Oh my God.
100% of them happen in cars.
Man, statistics.
Yeah.
Really freaky.
Spooky.
So no other horror news on your part?
Let me think. Nope. I don't think so.
Cool.
So.
Well, that wraps up Hurwitz's Horror Hour here. And we're going to be moving into today's main topic. Now, because we spent the last month of October in some of like the spookiest worlds with Halloween and Trick or Treat and your personal favorite Deep Red, it's been very intense and brutal. So we're kind of taking a little bit of a step back into a bit of a more lighter kind of horror movie. We're going to be talking about a horror comedy movie today. And Jeff, we left this one up to you to choose. And I was excited. You know, it's always nice to watch something either I haven't seen or just something that interests you, because I drag you into this world of horrifying creatures and terror and scares. And, you know, we got to have some of that variety. That's what life is made of. Variety and fruit baskets.
Fruit baskets. So I've noticed that you wanted to make it extra clear that I picked this movie.
No.
No, it's fine. It's fine. This week we watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and not Sarah Michelle Gellar's Buffy.
No.
Although they're both written by the now infamous Joss Whedon.
Mm-hmm.
We watched 1992's Buffy the Vampire Slayer, directed by Fran Rubel-Kazooie.
I just met this girl named Buffy.
I'm Pike.
Pike isn't a name, it's a fish.
I liked her, even though she seemed kind of flaky. But as it turns out,
you have been chosen, Buffy.
To do what?
To stop the vampires.
Does Elvis talk to you?
And things started getting weird around here. Are we having a nightmare?
You threw a knife at my head.
And you caught it.
Starring Christy Swanson as Buffy, Donald Sutherland as her old man guardian guy, Luke Perry as cool leather jacket love interest, Hilary Swank in her starring movie debut.
It was the debut?
Yep, first movie ever.
Oh, damn.
Paul Rubens, a.k.a. Pee-wee Herman, as vampire. I mean, you know, Amelin, but vampire guy.
I don't think they ever said his name in the movie. Maybe once, but yeah, I don't remember coming up. Either.
David Arquette. Man, the list goes on.
Also, don't forget Rutger Hauer as the main vampire.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, love that guy. Now, first of all, did you realize that Christy Swanson was in The Rocketeer, one of your favorite movies? Not The Rocketeer, The Phantom.
You're goddamn right I did. She played Kit, I believe is her name in that movie. She has brown hair in that movie.
That's what threw me off.
And tall boots. That's what I remember. Because at one point she slips a little paper of a pirate spiderweb tattoo logo into her boot. You want me to keep going? Please. We can just talk about The Phantom.
Oh, man. All of a sudden, this just transitions into a Phantom episode.
Yeah.
Oh.
Every episode turns into a Phantom episode. Anyway, as I was saying in the last episode, Billy Zane shaved his head in order to fit into the Phantom cowl.
And is that why he never grew his hair back? Because he shaved it that one day and it just never came back?
Yeah. He shaved it the one time and Pirate's Curse.
You know, that's a legitimate fear of mine, is that if I shave my head, like my hair just will never grow back for some reason.
I've heard that from a lot of people, actually.
That happens, or that's a fear?
Both. No, just that it's a fear.
Hey, punch evil, right? Is that what they say?
Maybe.
The Phantom?
Sure. He does punch evil.
Slam evil. Isn't that the tagline for the movie?
Is it? I don't know. Maybe I should learn more about my favorite movie.
So I also just recognized Christy Swanson from, she had a little role in Hot Shots. She had a really small role in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And she was also in Dude, Where Is My Car? She played Christy Boner or something like that.
Hey, Christy.
I think I'm getting that name wrong, but something Boner.
Christy Boner. Yeah, in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, she was the, I remember after you said that, she's like the bubblegum chewing student or whatever that says Ferris is out sick, I think. Also in this movie, Seth Green, one of two people who have been in both the movie and the TV show of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I didn't even see him in that.
That's because he was in this for 4 seconds.
Oh, man.
And three of those seconds were from behind.
Ah, oh.
So you saw his face for 1 second. He played, let me check his credit here, vampire. He was a vampire outside of a gym at one point, apparently.
Oh, when the gym was getting attacked?
Yep.
Okay.
I didn't spot him.
I know. I just remember a part where a bunch of vampires are standing outside and she's like doing backflips or something.
And hey, while we're on the topic, this movie is filled with little cameos of soon to be celebrities. Did you know that?
The one in particular I recognized was fucking Ben Affleck.
Yep.
I had to rewind it too because I was like, wait a second, is that him?
I was like, wait, who the hell was that?
So young and youthful.
Yeah, I almost didn't recognize him. His hair was darker and he just looked like a kid.
He's got like a higher voice too, just because he's so young, you know? I was like, oh, what?
He played a basketball player in one scene.
Mm-hmm.
There's also Thomas Jane.
I did recognize him. He was so young too,
I believe.
Yep.
Yeah. Later on, you know, to star in movies such as The Punisher and Mist or The Mist. And there was one other one I was going to bring up. God damn it. Nope, never mind.
So it was a star-studded cast for sure.
Star-studded cameo cast. Well, I guess the... Oh, no! Coffee everywhere!
Fuck.
Oh, the horror. Well, while I'm here, Steve is running to go get a towel. He just punched his coffee over. He didn't like that I... second guessed his decision to call this a star-studded cast.
I also forgot I had an almond or a chocolate croissant.
He got so angry that he had forgotten his chocolate croissant that he punched his coffee across the room.
I stepped in it a little bit. It's going to be sticky. Oh, it's dripping. Oh, it's drippy. I should have grabbed more paper towels. Good enough. All right, don't worry. Everything's fine. Oh, I got a little bit
of...
Actually, probably
shouldn't
be that
hungry. Perfect. All right,
and we're back.
Everything's fine. I got on my hands a little bit too, though.
Of course.
Yes. So, a star-studded cast. We're just going to keep on going.
All right.
So, our movie begins with a flashback into the past, into medieval times or something like that, and we get a little bit of a voiceover that goes,
since the dawn of man, the vampires have walked among us, killing, feeding. The only one with the strength or skill to stop their heinous evil is the Slayer. She bears the birthmark, the mark of the coven. Trained by the Watcher, one Slayer dies, and the next is chosen.
And we sort of see, I guess, the older version of the Slayer and the Watcher.
Yeah, which is the main protagonist in a really goofy looking fake wig.
Long brown hair. And then you see Donald Sutherland as the Watcher. Oh, my hamburger.
Oh, no. Now you're throwing your hamburger around.
And Donald Sutherland as the Watcher.
Mm-hmm.
He just looks the same.
Yeah.
Hasn't changed one bit.
I do appreciate that they didn't really drag on the exposition like to set up the movie. It was like a 3-minute scene, it felt like. And then jump straight into the movie.
Yeah.
I was like, that could have been like a, I feel like if that was made today, they just lean hard into these sequences nowadays.
Yeah.
This could have been like a 20-minute scene of like her in the past and we get to know the original Slayer. It's like, oh my God.
It's like, I don't care.
Just so the fact that it's like, blah, 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 we get it. And then it jumps straight into the main storyline. I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah. I like that.
Even though it was goofy as hell. Every time it flashes back in her dreams or whatever, it's like, it's me in a curly brown wig. I was like, ugh, this looks stupid.
Well, that starts off our movie. We're introduced to Buffy and her friends at school. And let me tell you, they are the most annoying people I have ever seen on screen. but
very not likable characters, even a little bit.
Mm-mm. But I think that was kind of the point. Like, they were really, I think she did a good job, Christy Swanson, like portraying a very unlikable, just like high school girl, a high school teen.
Yeah, I definitely seemed like the point was like, look, they're vapid and like, we like fashion and we talk in movies and that kind of thing. And
all they
was
care
like,
about is their world.
Right.
There's nothing else outside.
And it's one of those things where I feel like I get the intention there. And then it was like, and then she finds out there's more to life than new jackets because like the world's ending. She has to defend it from vampires, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like the way that it came across was like two fully different characters.
Yeah.
It wasn't growth. It was like her. She talked different. The words she used changed. It was like it went from like as if it was like shitty knockoff Clueless. And then it slowly morphs into like, no, I'm a different person. The world is bigger now. I am the Slayer. It was like, okay, I mean, I get it.
I have a quote written down. Does the word duh mean anything to you?
Yeah. Stupid.
Does the word duh mean anything to you?
But I can see that as her in this day and age as like the teenager that she is. And then as she learns more about this vampire world and all that, as she's coming to the realization that she is a slayer, you know, she has the slayer's memories and all that. And so maybe they're being reawoken in her. And so it is giving her a personality change as well. It's a stretch, but that's how I can see that as two different people being presented to us.
Right, right. I feel like it would have been more fun and it would have made more sense to me. And actually, to be fair, it is kind of what they did in the show, which I haven't watched. I actually just started watching the show. Is if they didn't change her, like, the way she speaks. Mm-hmm. It was just the way her outlook changes. Like, in the show, she still says dumb shit, like, what's the sitch?
She's still
or whatever,
a teenager,
you know?
Yeah.
Right, she's still a teenager. She's still the same person. But yeah, I get what you're saying. That could be it. She's, again, like, soaking in her previous...
Her previous lives and the experiences and
right.
the memories and thoughts that they have
yeah.
all together.
That being said, yeah, she did do a good job at playing that character.
Yeah. So then we're introduced to the Watcher, Donald Sutherland. He just creepily shows up at one of her practices and is just standing there like a
pervert,
old man.
Like a creepy old pervert man.
And he's like, come with me. She's like, nah, and dips.
Come with me to a graveyard. It's like, good strategy, dude.
We start having like flashbacks to her in her previous lives as well. And one of them I thought was brilliant because she's like kicks a vampire out the door or something and he leaves and then she just busts through a fucking window trying to get to him. I love that.
Yeah.
Because it was like the vampire was outside and he looks up and he's trying to run away. And then you just see the glass burst out and a woman just fly through it. I'm like, damn, that's a fucking slayer.
It's like, damn. Yeah.
And so these are all like dreams that she's having mm-hmm. to these past lives. And we're introduced to Lothos, like the head main vampire, Dracula of them all.
Which, did you find him, I mean, not the least bit scary?
I found him scary in the sense of an old man is
He's even
kind
of like
me.
Nerdy to me almost, or like kind of a doof. You know, he's like, oh, Dracula type guy. Like he had like his weird cape and he was always kind of awkward and like an old, like
down.
You said, an old man. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. This guy is not intimidating.
You're just
he's
a
slow.
Creepy vampire.
Yeah, I was like, you're going down, bud.
So as the Watcher is trying to convince her to join his cause, we go through her everyday life. We mm-hmm. meet her boyfriend and his creepy friends. And then we also meet Luke Perry and David Arquette's characters, Pike and Benny, who I thought were great.
Yeah, they're like the, what would you call them? Kind of like the stoner kind. They're mainly drunk, but mm-hmm. they're kind of like, we're the bad boys. We have leather jackets and sneak into movies and stuff like that.
But they're also kind of lame.
Yeah.
Which I liked.
Yeah.
First of all, let me tell you, Luke Perry, my God, that is a handsome man. He is in his youth. Jesus. You know, I mostly remember him from 90210 or mm-hmm. Riverdale and all these other things. But seeing him in this, I was like, ah, oh, Luke Perry, I miss you. You're a great actor.
Mm-hmm.
That man. And then
he did great in this, yeah.
David Arquette. He has some horror roots there, huh? I didn't realize. I had no idea he was in
this
before
the
Scream movies, you know?
Yeah.
So that was very cool. I like both of their characters.
Me too.
The vampires start appearing in this town. Do you know the name of the town?
I don't. I know it in the show. I'm not sure if it's the same in the movie. Sunnydale?
I don't think it's the same.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think it just told us it was Southern California.
Yeah, it did say Southern California in that goofy font.
Yeah. So vampires are starting to appear. Paul Reubens, Pee Wee Herman, he's a vampire.
Such a weird choice there. Yeah. Apparently this is his first movie back.
Oh, after his
scandal.
Yeah, yikes.
Goofy looking. He's got some crazy fake eyebrows and like a goatee. It was like, definitely, I mean, it is a horror comedy. So I was like, this is goofier than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I thought it was going to be kind of darker.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was like the show, but like more kind of dark and gritty. And it was like, oh, never mind. This is like Dude, Where's My Car meets Buffy the Vampire Slayer in a way. You know?
Pretty much. Of a much more lighthearted kind of take on the Buffy mythos.
Yeah. So, yeah, we meet Pee-wee the vampire.
And just he's turned people into vampires, students Classic. And other people around the town. There are news reports that people have been disappearing and showing back up or bodies are being found. And at one point, Pike and Benny are out drinking and Pike passes out. And Paul Reubens, vampire, ends up biting Benny. And shortly after, Luke Perry ends up back home or Pike ends up back home. And Benny's outside the window being like, you know, invite me in. I'm hungry.
Yeah, he's like he's floating outside of his window.
And Pike says,
you're floating. Come on, man. Get away from here.
He seemed like way too chill about that.
Everyone in this movie, I think, was very chill about just, Draculas are in our town. Okay. I just accepted it.
Yeah, like later there's a vampire like playing basketball for some reason.
Yeah.
And they're all just like, he's not even paying attention to the zones. It's like, it's a vampire.
He's not passing to anyone else. Coach, you got to take him out.
This fucking guy, kind of annoying. And he's like, in general, too, this whole movie, it was like the vampires are mainly just like chilling. We just want to party and drink people's blood. It's like, all right.
They always look really goofy, too. They have like big eyebrows. Their eyes like are a little different.
Yeah.
And then their ears are just pointed.
They're like pointy and kind of bent.
Yeah.
I was like, that's weird.
All the vampires, I think, were just very weird and just hanging out during the day.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, it's own kind of vampire-y thing, but
yeah, they made choices.
It's another take just on vampires. And, you know, we'll take that.
Yeah.
Eventually, old man Donald Sutherland is able to convince Buffy that everything going on around her is real. He starts asking her questions about all these dreams that she's been having. And she's just like, how did you know? I've never told anybody that. And we see, again, more flashes into like past lives of her being a slave or her being a barmaid and all these different things. And that's when he asked her to go to a graveyard with him. And she says, and there are some good lines. There are always good lines in movies, but the best I write down, she says, I can't believe I'm in a graveyard with a strange man hunting for vampires on a school night. Ew. And so they go there and he gives her a stake and a cross and he just tells her to wait here because something's going to be happening.
Mm-hmm.
And within minutes, a vampire rises and Donald Sutherland gets attacked. Did he have a name? Is he just Watcher? Oh, he did have a name.
Yeah, he had a name. It was like
Merrick.
Merrick.
He gets attacked and then Buffy ends up saving him just by shoving a stake through one of their hearts. And this is another one of those instances where it's like, she didn't really question it. She just could have just killed like somebody, which was funny. And yeah, she stakes both vampires. And that's when she accepts that, oh, yeah, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do.
Also, I was a little surprised by the whole vampires rising from the grave thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was. Is that a common thing for vampires? I thought that was more like a zombie thing.
I have no idea.
Vampires are just like immortal. They're just left over and then they turn others into vampires, not like a dead corpse for some reason. It's like, I'm a vampire now. Or is that, I guess the leader is turning dead people into vampires somehow.
Maybe it's,
I missed that.
When they get bit and get their blood sucked out or whatever, they go into like a metamorphosis stage where their body, like, you know, it appears dead and they get buried, but that's them going through the transformations of their ears, their teeth and all that. And then once their transformation's complete, they just shoot out of the graves, which was great. They just shot straight out of the fucking ground.
Just straight out. No resistance whatsoever. Nope. And that's where, I mean, it shows kind of like what you said. It kind of supports your theory or your explanation where she's like instantly is like, oh, I know how to like stake vampires and catch knives and shit like that. It's like, oh, you're picking up on like your Slayer history.
I love the scene when she's still taking like a little convincing and Merrick just throws a knife straight at her face.
Mm-hmm.
you know, if she wasn't really an actual Slayer, that he would have just murdered a girl.
He's like, oh, oops,
in
sorry.
The locker room.
That was very, very Batman and the Flash from the Justice League, the amazing Justice League movie.
Also directed by Joss Whedon.
Wait a second. Interesting. There's also a scene where someone falls on another person and it's like, oh no, oops, which is apparently his whole, like he's done that many times.
But it's reversed in this one. Usually it, right. You know, in the later movies, it's the dude falling on a girl's boobs.
Yeah.
Like, uh-oh, a Bucky fell on top of the guy this time.
Yeah.
Ah.
Oh.
So, yeah, she ends up coming around.
Yeah, starting her training.
We do get some very cool montage scenes of her just doing like rolls and flips. And
it is funny to me that kicks. Her main thing is like tumbling.
Mm-hmm.
Like every scene, she's like, I need to get to that door. And then she does like handsprings over the door. It's like, just run.
Nope.
It's like taking you longer to do this than it would just to run over there, probably.
Well, let me ask you this question, Jeff.
Okay.
Which looks cooler, running or doing backwards handsprings?
I mean, gotta say, handsprings are pretty cool looking.
Yeah, so...
pretty impressive.
Next time you want to go run somewhere, I'm going to suggest maybe you do a backwards handspring and see if you impress
maybe
anyone.
Maybe we do a couple handsprings over to Subway for some lunch?
I will kill myself doing that. I will break my own neck.
Do you think the actor actually did all that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's no.
Yeah,
although I'd a couple scenes, no. I was like, that was... her. Like, she was doing most of those kicks and stuff, which were really impressive.
I'm sure she did a few, but...
she's like a flying kick into a punching bag.
Dude, she did so many spin kicks and shit. Yeah.
That was insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's just, she stakes someone and just kicks the stake right through the rest of their heart.
Yeah, that was tight.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
And so she's going through those montages and I love that. She's slowly, like we already mentioned, leaving behind that version that we saw early in the movie of the just like, I only care about my own world version of herself. And she's honestly missing out on school and cheerleading practice and all this, but we do see her growth because her friends are still the exact same. And she's just over that shit. They're like, you were supposed to be at cheerleading practice and we had to set things up for the dance. And she's just like, well, I got other things going on.
And she's like, that's not important. I have more important shit than they're like more important than the dance. That's crazy.
I think Hilary Swank was great at being like that. Just like mean,
like Mean Girl, essentially.
Yeah, she was brilliant. As small of a role she had.
Mm-hmm.
I loved her.
Yeah, I thought she was good. Good in that role. I would say overall, the writing, not personally not a fan.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the actors kind of shine through that. Even Donald Sutherland apparently like rewrote a bunch of his lines in the movie. He was just like, I'm just going to say different shit. And Joss Whedon got really pissed off and he called him a dick. Publicly and stuff, and they didn't get along.
I mean, I feel like that's something Donald Sutherland would do. I feel like he's a great actor, and he's just in this goofy subpar ass movie.
Yeah, he's like, nah, I'm just gonna say some other shit. Yeah. I was like, okay, fuck. But yeah, overall, still pretty fun. And like you said, Hilary Swank was really good at playing that character, as was Christy
Swanson.
I don't remember the other two friends really, but.
They didn't really have too much else to do.
Yeah.
Let's see. Pike ends up trying to leave town. He gets ambushed by vampires, and that's when she saves him. And they start to develop a little bit of their relationship, too.
I mean, that's a big... And then there's just a lot of his, like, training. And then there's the dance. I feel like there's a huge chunk of just training.
Yeah.
So not much happens. It's another one of those movies.
There's the basketball game.
The basketball game week.
We see Ben Affleck. She chases a vampire down into like this weird, I don't know, it's like a carnival area. And that's the first time she meets Lothos.
Right.
And then Merrick dies. He tries to like intervene.
In the most like anticlimactic, slowest scene ever. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
He was like, I'll save you. I will kill Lothos. And then like almost in slow mo, just kind of like, like he's bored, kind of brings up his stake and like, I'm gonna kill him, I guess. And then Lothos just slowly reaches up and grabs it and turns it back on him and kills him instead. I was like, it's like watching two geriatric old men.
It kind of was
fight. Yeah. Like, speed it up. My God, this is embarrassing.
This is around the time too that we see Lothos has a bit of like power over her or some sort of kind of
like a weird like
kind of thing.
Similar to Fright Night.
Yeah, I guess maybe that is something
the vampire-like seduction.
Yeah, because in some of her flashbacks, he also does seem to have a bit of a hypnotic power over her. Mm-hmm. She tries to confront him right before Merrick gets stabbed. And that's when he's like, no, you don't want to do that. But Merrick gets in the way, gets stabbed, and then Lothos fucks off. And I guess they don't go after her because they don't know her name. And they eventually learn her name, and that's when they go to ambush her at the dance. There's a school dance going on.
Yeah, that's kind of through the whole movie. I was a little like, why not just kill her in that moment if you didn't know who she was?
There was something about her not being ready yet. That's what Merrick said.
What was, did I miss something? What was Merrick's goal
here? He was just trying to, like, in this one scene or in general?
No, just overall.
To train her to slay vampires.
Or, sorry, not Merrick, Lothos.
To raise...
He's just like, I'm a vampire.
Yeah, I guess to raise the undead, raise an army, because that's what Paul Reubens' character was kind of doing. He was biting people, and I think he even says to Lothos, hey, I'm slowly getting followers for you, and...
On Instagram?
Yeah. Really hitting up that social media.
Yeah. Social media presence.
I mean, it just seems like him and the Slayer have, Lothos and the Slayer have always had some sort
There's
of
like
connection.
There's like a tie kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he might, maybe he has to wait because of some kind of weird fate thing. It seemed a little weird where he's like, she's standing there like in a trance and he's like, anyway, bye.
Yeah. He just leaves. Walks off.
Like you said, it's like, okay, that would have been an opportune moment for you to maybe kill the Slayer, but
yeah, I didn't understand any
of
that.
Or just this woman. If you don't even know that it's the Slayer.
He must have known because she was with Merrick and Merrick trains these people.
Oh, well,
they learn her name finally. And instead of going to kill her, then as Paul Reubens' vampire suggests, Lothos is like, no, I want to go to the dance. I want to dance. And they have a little laugh about it. So that was funny.
Yeah.
And it's called the Hug the World dance. And their mascot is a pig. That pig was really freaky. It was at the very beginning of the movie. It was like the mascot.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
And so the dance is happening and her boyfriend, who was actually a pretty shitty bloke. There's some weird interactions where his friend is hitting on Buffy.
Oh, right. Earlier in the movie.
Yeah. And then
she like leans over the car and his friend is just like, and kind of like being weird about her butt.
Just staring at it and
doing that thing, hand motion of like, I want to touch it, but I can't. It's like, ew. And then he's like, I don't mean to be sexist, but can I borrow her? First of all, that's fucking disgusting.
That's your friend, man.
Yeah. And also like, it's like asking someone to borrow their fucking computer or something. Like, it's like, you know, the ultimate she's an object thing. Like, yeah, hey, let me borrow for the weekend. Like, ew, fuck. And then it gets even worse because her boyfriend is like, no, nah, man, you just get her dirty. It's like, ew, dudes. And she's just like,
yeah.
It's like, all right, well.
And then there's the scene.
Couple of cool dudes, cool chads here.
There's a scene later on where he like grabs her butt too. And then she flips him over and she's like, don't fucking touch me. And then the boyfriend is like, whoa,
hey, geez.
Calm down, y'all.
Emotional.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah. Didn't like, yeah, he was a bad dude.
Yeah. And then he ends up going to the dance without her.
Because I guess he's been trying to get in contact with her, but she has been training and hasn't been getting any of his messages.
Yeah.
And he ends up getting together with one of her friends in the friend group.
Yeah. There also seems to be kind of a subtle subtext of he says something about like, well, you know, wanted to be with someone who'd put out or something like that. And I was like, oh, yikes. Okay.
Because then you see like her friend and her boyfriend just like hooking up in a car in a later scene.
She's like, well, that was fast.
That was funny.
Yeah.
When she shows up to the dance, though, she looks fucking fire. She's wearing like this fucking kick-ass white dress.
Some like white boots.
Mm-hmm. And she's all bummed out about the boyfriend thing. But then Pike shows up.
In the silliest leather jacket I've ever seen. Biggest shoulder pads ever.
He's shaved his face and everything. And he's got the hair slicked back. And it's Luke Perry looking his best, too. And that's when vampires end up crashing the dance.
Which was hilarious to me because it was like, oh, no, vampires. And then they're kind of just like dancing also.
Yeah.
Like biting people casually, but it wasn't as like vicious as I was expecting. I thought it was going to be like, we're getting everyone. And so they're kind of like, what's up, guys? Hey, how's it going? I'll bite you, I guess. And then like some people are just dancing in the corner. I was like, I don't know who's, it's almost hard to tell who's a vampire and who's not because they're all just kind of like
chilling,
milling about. Yeah.
There's some lore that they established in this that I really liked. The whole, a vampire can't enter somewhere unless they're invited, which was something that I realized that's what Benny was trying to do to Pike earlier when he was flying outside of his window. Right. Cause he's like, invite me in. And there was a line in the beginning of the movie where Hillary Swank's character,
Hillary Swank,
where Hillary Swank's character, like she's complaining with Buffy about, oh, do we really have to invite everybody to the dance? And they're like, well, yeah, we have to because it's a dance.
Oh, smart.
And then around this time, Buffy is saying they can't come in unless they're invited. And then Hillary Swank's character says, I mean, we invited them already. So like, oh, that's a cool
right,
little kind of
like that. Yeah, that
reference
cool.
and callback there. They don't actually end up coming in yet because they say, hey, Buffy, if you come out, we'll leave everyone alone. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is the part where we see the back of Seth Green's head because she leaves through a window or something.
Yeah.
And she does like a bunch of backflips out.
Of course.
But then the vampires end up just attacking the whole school dance.
Yeah, they're like, we lied.
Ooh, she does get Pike's sweet leather jacket, though.
Yeah, in what I think is a pretty silly scene where I don't remember if it was Pike who grabs her dress.
I think it was,
where she's about to leave and he's like, wait, and he grabs her dress and it somehow rips just the bottom, like below the knee or right above the knee off and turns it into like a punk rock skirt.
Like a movable.
And then he like tosses her his leather jacket.
You'll need this.
Which is kind of like, why? I guess because it's chilly out.
Yeah. She just has exposed arms.
To me, it was like, wait, to complete your look, here's my jacket. I was like, okay, I get it. Which, to be fair, it was like a cool final girl outfit.
It's a good look, yeah.
And Skylar had a good point also where she said,
did Skylar watch this with you?
No, she did not.
Damn it.
But I told her about this dumb scene after I was done. She's like, that'd be a great Halloween costume, though.
Yeah.
Like a ripped prom dress with a leather jacket and a stake.
It seems pretty easy.
Buffy.
Too, yeah.
92 Buffy. And then she proceeded to do a ton of gymnastics, mm-hmm. flip-flop around, stake some people.
Yeah, she kills a handful of vampires by staking them.
Her friend even stakes a vampire in the neck. Oh, huh. Looks like a pencil.
Probably.
Or something. She broke a piece of wood. She was like, ew!
Classic.
I was like, hey, good on you. You just stabbed someone in the fucking neck.
Could have been a regular person, too.
Yeah, also, I don't think that's going to do anything because you have to stab him in the heart. But, true. Good try.
So she ends up confronting Lothos. He comes to crash the dance and she does end up killing the Paul Reuben vampire and he takes a little while to die. She just stabs him straight in the heart and he's like, oh, ooh.
That was my favorite scene in the movie.
I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, I cracked up. apparently that was improvised also.
Really?
Yeah, like.
I believe it.
He got that first time he goes down. Uh-huh. That was supposed to be it. And then he like pops back up. He's like, and like keeps it going and you can see on her face.
Oh, really?
She starts to smile a little bit and then turns away. Yeah, because he's just like fucking with her.
That's fun.
So just to jump ahead, favorite death right there. I don't even need to wait till the end. Favorite death.
I wonder if I have one.
Because that was hilarious.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So Lothos is sitting in like this basement that she gets chased into and he's playing the violin, which I'm just going to say right there. The violin, a little bit of the tune reminded me of the X-Men animated series theme. So it was like, do-do-do-do-do. And that sort of sounds like.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Do-do.
Wolverine comes jumping in and stabs a vampire in the chest.
And it's a team up of Wolverine, the Hubert Jackman version, and the Christy Swanson Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, good old original Wolverine, Hubert Jackman.
Before Hugh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That would be a great movie. Just side note here, Wolverine versus vampires.
I feel like
it'd be goofy
done.
As hell, but it would be fun to watch.
Oh, without a doubt.
You know?
With Hubert Jackman?
With Hubert, yeah. He's retired. Hubert will take over.
That's right. So Lothos ends up using some of that hypnotic power on her, but there's a fight between Pike and Benny that breaks out in the dance and Benny's trying to bite Pike, but then Pike throws him into like the electricity box and that cuts the power and that somehow releases Buffy from the trance that she's under. You remember this?
Yes, because then she's like, the final words of
Merrick
when he dies is something, it's a quote. But it's something about the silence.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, wait, that's what he meant or something like that. And I think it's something to do with the music was the trance. So the power getting cut the music. That's what I got from it. But I was a little confused.
But like the music from the dance.
I don't know. Because he had the violin.
Yes. But in other, in past scenes, when he kind of like hypnotized her.
There's no music.
Exactly.
No idea.
Yeah. Well, she's able to break free from his trance there.
She was just really into the music from the dance. She's like, whoa, in a trance. And the music cut. And she's like, wait a second. What am I doing?
Yeah.
Not just enjoying some sweet tunes. There's a vampire here.
Lothos tries to stop her from escaping and she pulls out a cross and he's like, you think that's going to stop me? And she pulls out some hairspray and she makes like a miniature, like little flamethrower.
Well, because like, yeah, she's holding the cross and then he reaches up and touches it.
Oh, and it bursts into flame.
And it bursts into flames and it's a burning cross. And I was like, oh shit. Yeah. And then she says something like,
I have fashion.
I have style. Or yeah, like something about her having hair products basically, and pulls out a little mini hairspray can.
There were some fun lines.
It on his face, and then he kind of didn't care.
Yeah, his hair gets lit on fire.
And he just like smiles. It's like, ugh.
I guess he's because he's like the ultimate Dracula.
He's like, whatever.
Yeah. But there were lines throughout the movie earlier that I liked when people were asking, like, what makes you different from the other Slayers? Because Merrick saw something in her and she's like, well, I have style. And I was I like that because it's kind of incorporating her, you know, her teenager aspect into this new Slayer version. Like, oh, good. You're keeping some view.
Right. I think that's one of those things where overall it's like the writing, there's like some good one-liners, basically.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
Like the overall writing is garbage, I would say. But some really good one-liners in there for sure. There's like some memorable, like you said, a bunch of memorable lines.
She makes her way back to the dance. The kids are fighting. There is a scene where Hilary Swank's character is like hiding behind some rafters or something. And the principal, who is just doesn't seem affected by any of this either. She starts screaming about Buffy and he just like slams her head. Hilary Swank's character, her head into like the wall and just walks away.
Like, damn. Okay.
He did some damage to her because she pops up at the very end too. And she is not right in the head.
Yeah.
So Buffy returns back to the dance and Lothar ends up chasing her there. And there's a big battle where she gets a sword. No, Lothar has a sword and she's like breaking apart chairs and things, trying to stake them. And they duke it out for a little bit. And Lothos almost has her when Pike jumps in and jumps on his back and tries to wrestle him. And he just gets thrown off. But that gives Buffy the opportunity to stake Lothos.
Are you pausing a second? Because you called him Lothar earlier. Lothos. Yeah. I think his name's Lothos. Yeah.
She gets him with the stake and then she does one of her infamous spin kicks.
Yeah, he says something, I think, when he first gets staked.
Oh, also.
He's like, oh, like that's not great or something like that. And she does a spin kick. Boom.
As soon as she came out from under his trance, he started calling her a bitch a whole lot.
Oh, totally. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, damn, dude.
It was essentially like she was like, nah, like rejects him. And then he's like, fine, bitch.
Yeah.
It was like a classic. It's like a trope, apparently, like the old dirty man or something.
Yeah.
Or like an old man hits on a girl and she's like, no. And then he calls her a bitch over and over, I guess.
It's like, damn, that's very rude. I was like,
wow, that's intense. You stupid bitch. I was like, whoa.
And so she gets him and he dies.
Yeah, he does.
At this point, all the other vampires are dead. And once again, this principal is just handing out like detention notices to dead bodies. He does not seem to care.
Yeah. Just doesn't care even a little bit.
And then we get a cute moment where Buffy and Pike, you know, come back together. Pike's okay. And they have a little dance.
Mm-hmm. And then he's like, you're not like the other girls. Which I was like, oh, barf.
Yes, I am.
You're different. You don't just care about fashion. Like, that just means you're shitting on women in general.
You care about vampires.
Yeah, you're cool.
And so with that, the two jump on his motorcycle and drive off into the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a few like scenes playing while the credits are going. And it's a news report about some weird shit happened at this school and there's bodies, but we have no idea what happened. And we see Hilary Swank. She again has had some head damage to her. She is not functioning properly. There's the principal. And then I think there's like the friend, the boyfriend and Buffy's friend. And they're like, oh yeah, we just happened to be outside at the right time. And that ends the movie.
And then we get a little tiny clip of Paul Reubens' death scene. A little more of that. I have a note here that says, when you're turned into a vampire, the rule is that you have to be super fucking annoying also.
Yeah, that is a thing, huh?
in like a lot of movies too, not just this one, but this one especially, it was like, shut up. It was like, you're not just like, hey, I have fangs now. They're like, it was just like so fucking annoying. Every vampire was so annoying.
Benny, the basketball player.
Mm-hmm. It was just like, ugh. That's my final thought.
But yeah, in Fright Night, you know, Evil Ed, he was fucking awful.
Goddamn. Yeah, it was like they saw Fright Night.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I really liked his portrayal of vampires. Let's do that for every vampire in this movie, except for Lothos. He can just be a really slow old man
mm-hmm.
that calls a like a 19-year-old girl a bitch because she won't sleep with him. I was like, good movie.
Paul Reubens' vampire wasn't like that too much.
That's true. He was weird and breathy and creepy, but not like annoying.
I like that he lost an arm too, and he just never got it back point. He's just walking around armless.
Yeah, there's that. There's another line there that was kind of like, kind of funny, and also like possibly. Basically, he's like, "We're vampires. We can do anything." And she has him pinned to the wall
because
he has the one arm, and she's like, "Oh yeah, clap." And I kind of laughed.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah,
there were some good lines in this movie.
Yeah.
All right. Well. Let me ask you this question, Jeff. Did you like this movie?
Did I like this movie? It's a yes or no question.
Yes.
I'm going to have to say no.
Okay.
Not really.
Interesting.
If I have to say yes or no, it's going to be a no. It's going to tilt into no.
I thought this would have been right up your alley.
I thought so too. That's why I picked it. And then it was like, no, the writing was bad.
Yeah, definitely not good.
There had some good moments, but even then, that's part of it. And then also it was just like, kind of boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot.
You know what I mean?
Happen.
Like, there wasn't much to the plot, which again goes back to the writing, where it's like, I'm an old vampire who's vampiring around, and then Buffy flips a lot. I was like, okay, I was expecting more. You know, maybe something to do with her having to hide the fact that she's a slayer from her friends, or like her dealing with her transformation a little bit more than her being like, wait a second, fashion isn't the only thing. And then just being different from then on, like some kind of substance, and not just like, clearly it was written to be more like two-dimensional.
Yeah.
Fun one-liners, which is fine. But I also just don't like Joss Whedon's writing. So the one-liners were cool, but the rest of it was like kind of bland.
Not really knowing too much about this movie. I have mentioned in the past that I've watched the show. I was a mm-hmm. big fan of it when I was younger, and I would watch it with like my sister and my ma, but I don't really remember too much of it other than bits and pieces. But
I was an Angel guy. Yeah. I watched Angel, but not Buffy.
With the squinty head.
Yeah.
I had this like impression. I remember the tones of the show. So I kind of thought it was going to be more like that in this movie,
right.
But I was learning or read that these are kind of two separate entities. They're not really related to each other on any level.
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't think this had the best reception.
I also
read that like certain cast members in the show, when they were first approached, were like, oh, no, thanks.
Ooh, really?
And they had to be assured that it was different than the movie.
Okay.
They're like, no, we're doing a different thing. And then they're like, okay, no. I guess I'll do the show then if it's not like the movie.
Wow.
So it's like, clearly people weren't like, that movie's great.
Yeah, I want to be a part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So not too surprised after watching that movie. I'm like, okay, I can kind of get that now.
I got to say, I enjoyed this movie.
Okay.
I didn't know what to expect from it, really.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew that it was a movie from the early 90s.
Right.
I didn't think it was going to be too horror-y, which it wasn't. But I think anything with like Draculas and vampires is going to have a little bit of a horror element.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a very fun movie. I liked the one-liners. We keep saying the writing wasn't great, which it wasn't. Not much happened, but it's something I could just like pop on in the background.
It is a very light kind of popcorn movie, you're right.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I was saying. Like, it's not that I disliked it. I just didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like, well, like I wouldn't watch this again by myself.
Maybe I would show this movie to somebody who doesn't really know too much about horror or vampires.
Okay, like an intro type movie.
Yeah, like here is kind of a generalization of what vampires are and the tropes a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's show you 30 Days a Night.
I feel like it's almost like, because I can see what I want it to be,
mm-hmm.
it makes me not like it as much.
Yeah.
Like it's so close. It's almost like, I think I already said this, but it's like Clueless
mm-hmm.
mixed with like a vampire horror movie. And it could be done so well. I think that could be so fun. And instead it just kind of fell flat for me, but I like the concept.
Me too.
That's part of it, is going in kind of, now it's not a new concept, but But at the time, maybe I'd be like, oh, that's fun. And like a new take on it. It's not just like a Van Helsing type character. It's like a kind of a witty cheerleader type person slaying vampires.
A Van Helsing starring once again, Hubert Jackman.
That's right. Hubert Jackman.
Well, let me ask you this then.
Okay.
Would you want to see a reboot of this movie in this day and age?
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I think
along the same lines of this movie, elements change, but still the whole, this high school girl has this past or has previous lives where she's a slayer. And we sort of see that transformation.
I definitely think I'd be surprised if they're not working on one right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should. It should lean into the comedy, but also lean more into the horror than this movie did.
I think agree.
It'd be really cool.
100%. This really didn't feel like a horror movie.
The tagline would just be slay. Cause I mean, you know,
that's funny.
The modern.
Wow. Okay. That took me a second. That took me 1 second.
I think that'd be rad.
I'd want to see that too.
Me too.
Again, like you just said, embracing more horror elements.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could be very well done.
And leaning more into the like, yeah, what is it? What would it be like if a person who was like super superficial was like, oh no, now you're imbued with this fate of having to save the world from undead creatures and what that means. And yeah,
I'd most definitely want to see that too.
Maybe it would be, I don't know. I was going to say written like by Seth Rogen and his writing partner.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't know, maybe not that route, but yeah, something in that direction I think could be really cool.
Absolutely. Well, let's move into our rating system.
Uh-oh.
Jeff, out of 5 handsprings, how many backward handsprings would you give this movie?
I would give this movie 3 backwards handsprings.
Wow. Yeah, honestly, same here.
Yeah, a little more than half. Yeah, 3.
Like I
decent.
Said, I had fun with this movie.
Yeah.
A lot more than I thought I would. I think the acting is very cheesy, which adds to it in its own sense because it is just a bit of a cheesy movie.
Mm-hmm.
I would show this to somebody as a vampire introduction. And I...
Vampires 101.
I liked it.
There were a few times, especially earlier on, where I was saying just like, what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
I said that a lot when the movie first started. So that kind of gives you an idea of what this movie is like. I think my expectations were a little higher for some reason.
Ooh, mine were not. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, exactly. That's when you said kind of like you didn't know what to expect. I'm like, okay, that makes sense that we kind of landed where we're at. There's that scene where he's, this is totally, doesn't whatever. There's a scene where Luke Perry's like eating the hot dog bun.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. I love that scene.
And then what's his face? David Arquette like
Benny.
Wiggles his hot dog around like it's his dick and then they cut it with a knife or something. I was like, what? That was one of the scenes where I was like, what the fuck is happening? What is this?
I like that scene because they only had enough money for a soda or a hot dog with no toppings on it.
Right.
And so when they get the hot dog, they break it up by Benny taking the hot dog and then Pike just eating the bread.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That's great. And any movie that has a hot dog in it, I'm a big fan. Love
that's
me some hot dogs.
Well, you'll be happy to know, little horror Howard news here. They are making a series based on the Sausage Party movie.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is that real?
Yeah.
That's depressing.
Sadly, because that movie's trash.
It is trash and they did not treat their animators correct.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's even worse.
Isn't that what happened? Like they had to do hours and hours and they didn't get paid for it.
Just like every other movie.
Crunch time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyway, Buffy.
Well, let's move into our next very popular segment.
Tops and bottoms. Oh, what's up?
I mean, yeah. Like it or hate it. Tops and bottoms. 1 5-star review and 1 1-star review about the movie we just discussed. Let's start off with that 5-star review, Jeff.
All right. We got Emo on Amazon.com saying, how funky's your chicken? How funky's your chicken? How loose is a goose? A goose is totally loose. So come on, all you hog fans. So come on, all you hog fans and shake your caboose and shake your caboose. Woo. This movie is a damn classic. 5 stars.
That's wonderful.
I'm not surprised someone so stupid would rate this movie 5 stars. Just getting Emo, but your review is dumb.
And on Letterboxd, we have a 1-star review from Adam saying, Watching the lead in this was like reliving my short-lived acting phase in middle school. Listening to the dialogue was like reliving my pretentious young writer phase in high school. So overall, this was a pretty traumatic experience for me.
Oh, poor Adam.
So there you have it. Two different takes on this movie, pretty much kind of like us. I had a lot more fun in this movie, I think, than you did.
That's right. You were the shake your caboose guy, and I was the
pretty traumatic
pretentious writer guy.
Well, I do got to say, Jeff, it was nice kind of taking a step into a bit of a more lighthearted area of horror this
yeah,
month.
We've been deep in the weeds on that heavy shit recently.
Deep red.
Deep red in the weeds.
Your favorite.
Woo!
Well, with that, I think that's going to wrap up this week's episode. Jeff, bring us on home.
Well, thanks for, if you've made it this far, sticking with us through this just... We'll see what it ends up being, but I'm going to guess shit show of an episode.
It's so chaotic.
You know, after Hurwitz's Horrortober, we just got to change it up a little bit.
Get a little loosey-goosey.
Get a little loosey-goosey in your loosey caboose.
I'm drinking a gummy cola right now. Look at me go.
Fans of hogs. Shake your boost or whatever he says. Shake your boost. Yeah, go ahead and follow the podcast on Instagram if you want, at Hurwitz's House of Horror, or on
YouTube.
You know, YouTube, actually. Just go ahead and search Hurwitz's House of Horror. Currently on YouTube is just the first episode, but we will be uploading, the plan is every episode, and including like little behind the scenes videos and stuff.
Yeah.
When E.T. someday shows up, we're hoping in January.
That's coming pretty soon.
We will be publishing a little featurette there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, go check it out. Go subscribe to us on YouTube. You know, if you're listening, you probably already follow us on the podcasting platforms, but go ahead and rate the podcast if
please.
You can, please. 5 stars. We'll read that review out and then we'll make fun of you on the podcast.
Isn't that what you want?
Yeah. You want to be made fun of.
Jeff, people can find you at Art of Jefferson Miller on Instagram.
Art of Jefferson, actually.
Thank you. See, this
wow,
is why.
Wow, dude. Steve doesn't follow me on Instagram.
You also just started a new page as well, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm starting a design studio, a creative studio. You can follow that and all the happenings over on Instagram at Ugly Cowboy Co. Yeah, you can buy some shit. You can buy some t-shirts and stuff at HurwitzsHouseOfHorror.com. And you can buy all kinds of things on Amazon. Don't, you know, try and shop local, except for when you're buying our merchandise, because you can't get that stuff locally. So just buy it online, I guess.
Are you doing all right, man?
What's up?
Are you doing okay?
Oh, you know, life.
Yeah.
So
great. Well, thank you again, everyone, for listening. Now, next week, there may... See you, Jeff. And Jeff has left the studio. He is gone. And that just leaves me here talking to no one. That's not true. I'm talking to you. Yes, you. No, not you. But you, the listener. Oh, there he is. He's back.
All right, I'm back.
Hey, nice try. We knew we could get rope you back in.
Okay.
You know, everyone comes to this podcast to listen to you. Welcome back.
Hey.
So just as a heads up, I'm not sure if there will be a new episode next week. I am taking a little vacation, so I don't know if I'll be recording a little something for next Friday's release. If something shows up, guess I did. If nothing shows up, well, that is me enjoying myself in the on the East Coast. I'll be going back home for a little bit. So take that opportunity to listen to or re-listen to some old episodes. If you haven't heard any of the Hurwitz's Horrortober month and you're still feeling that spooky mood, go back and listen to those or listen to them for the first time, or go and check out some of the Friday the 13th episodes, episodes number 1, 2, and 3. If you're wanting to get a little bit more into the Camp Crystal Lake prequel and learn a little bit about that and where it could go. I think I'm just rambling at this point. So,
I mean, this whole episode was us just rambling, basically. Well, if there's no episode next week, just come on back after that. Yeah. Let us know if there's any movies you'd like us to do.
Oh, yeah, please. I know we do have X at some point, maybe around the end of November or early December. I do want to try and do more Christmas themed movies for the month of December. We already have Gremlins requested and on the docket. We might do Krampus. I think we've talked a little bit about that. So, yeah.
We also might do The Killing Tree.
Yes, where we literally just discussed that. Mm-hmm. Jeff seemed psyched.
That's why I was leaving.
If you could all hear this, like the change in his voice in between certain things, it was because we discussed The Killing Tree in that in between time. That's why he's so upset. So, yeah, for any movie suggestions, please DM us or leave us a comment and leave us a comment on one of our pages about how you felt about this movie, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and how many back handsprings out of 5 would you give this movie? So thank you again, everyone, for listening. And as we say at the end of every episode of Her Witch's House of Horror, does the word duh mean anything to you?